hiking and some prayer time, some quiet time, some relaxed time last weekend.
Come on.
So now I went a little fishing, and I think I got the itch.
Come on, brother.
I'm just looking for a place to pull over and throw a hook in the water. That's all I think about that. I gotta get something else in my life. Bailey and I went fishing yesterday.
Yay!
We were catching little fish, and I was happy. A little catfish, but then along, I'm like, whoa. I better go back and let me get a little bigger. But we had a great time. Of course, Bailey told me I didn't know how to fish. She's the master now. But it was great, though. It was good to get out there. And I find fishing relaxing.
Amen.
People find other things, but I realize how much I miss. It's been a long time since I have been fishing, so. Now I'm looking at going to the store and buying a couple of the hooks. And, give me a little box started.
Get a box started.
Fast Pro Shop.
Sometimes you need that. So let's go ahead and pray before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Father, to speak this morning. Not from me, Father, but from you, Father. So that everything that comes out of my mouth, Father, is inspiring, encouraging to those who hear, Father, so that, Father, we can be better people in the garden as we came in today, Father. Mm-hmm. Let the words be uplifting, Father. Let them be teaching what they need to be taught, rebuking what they need to be taught.
Amen.
Father, we love you in the Son of Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So we're in Genesis chapter 18. So, just a little bit of history of Genesis. In case we're going to go back a little bit and talk about it. You know, the book of Genesis established the fundamental truths about God. Among these are his role as a creator, his holiness, and also his hatred for sin, and his love for mankind as well. Mm. You know, we know about it is the beginning of all things, right?
Yep.
You know, in Genesis, God created everything. You know, sitting, I was sharing this morning, I was saying, you know, how amazing the earth is. Everything is about. You got, you know, we were just talking about, you know, I was digging up some worms to go fish with. I'm going, what purpose does that worm have? Why is he down in the ground digging around in there? But God knew, and he created it. He's down there tilling the soil, making it refertilize, eating up the dirt and pushing out other dirt. And that way we have, what, nice, pretty plants so we can have food to eat. And if you want to eat an animal that eats the food, then guess what? But it's all a nice system. It all works. So in Genesis, we see where God starts off as his creation of all of us and all things. But but the parts of here in chapter 18 we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Number one is his promises. And as a creator, his promises about letting Sarah have a child.
Right.
And second part to this, I broke it down into two parts. The plea for Sodom, which is showing God has it comes a time when sin is sin, right? Got to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And God says, when I got to step in and deal with it, it ain't pretty.
Come on.
So you deal with it before I get there. Don't wait till I get there to have to deal with it. So that's his showing of his dislike of the sin as well. So let's go ahead and start off. We're going to start in verse 1 in chapter 18. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to the tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you have not come to your servant, very well, they answered, do as you say. So Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. Quick, he says, get three sheaves of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds of milk and the calf that had been prepared, and he set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is Sarah?" they asked him. "They're in the tent," he says. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. In fact, they were in their 90s. You know, very old. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I ain't old if you look at today's time. Mm-hmm. So Sarah laughed to herself and she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, I now have this pleasure." Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' Mm-hmm. I will return to you at the appointed time, next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop right there. This is the first part. So it is Sarah, and there's a different talks about who the three men were. But they were angels, and one of them was the Lord. But what's amazing to me that is Abraham was able to see this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure many men and many people had come by, but these three particular ones caught his attention, didn't they? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he go, "Whoa, let me go do something for these three." And I had to look up the word seeds to see what that was. You know, he said, "What is seeds?" You know, I'm like, "Well," he told Sarah, "go get prepare three seeds." And I says, "Well, what the heck is a seed?" A seed, in layman's term, is equal to the capacity of 144 medium-sized eggs, or what is equal to the volume of a 9 U.S. quarts. That's a lot of bread.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. For three men, but also the fact that he decided to go to the best calf. You know, and so here it is, God shows up, and Abraham shows up. Abraham says, "You know what? I've got to give the best to these three because I know one of these is the Lord." Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, 2, it says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to
angels."
Come on.
So here it is. Abraham already is doing the practice that we probably should already be doing. Talks about in the New Testament.
Yep.
Here it is, God's shown up. He's got the two angels with him. He is bringing him news. And here again, God is doing what? Creating all over again.
Yep.
He said, "I already created the beginnings. I created everything, Adam and Eve. Here it is, I'm going to give you a son. And no matter what position you are in your life, it will be granted to you." Once again, God shows promise.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's all the time, you know, but Abraham was a righteous man. So Abraham was able to receive all these things because of his promises and his righteousness to God.
Right.
And, you know, and so I ask myself, for throughout our lives, can we say those same promises from God?
Right.
Are we not Abraham's children? Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says, you know, he's the creator. We are his descendants. Mm-hmm. God said he blessed his descendants.
Come on.
You know, I read in chapter 19 and so on, it talks about the descendants of Abraham, how they all are blessed, the sons and all of them. We are all those descendants. Can we say not that when you are righteous enough that will you be able to see God when he shows up? Will you entertain strangers just because you see strangers, not realizing that you may be entertaining angels?
Right.
See, Abraham had the spirit of loving God to the point where in his life, everything he did was about God.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this the other day. I was doing a quiet time, and I'm going, there's 24 hours in a day, and I know I sleep some of those hours, probably too many of them. Got to get my nap in as I get older. I'm going to go and confess. I do.
Preach, bro.
David tells me, "You take a nap, you ain't going to sleep at night." I said, "Yes, I will."
That's right.
However, take away the sleeping time, take away all the other time. Yeah, I'm probably about maybe 14, 15, 16 of those hours you're up and about. How much time is focused on God? Because see, you can focus on, you know, I always tell people about prayer time. You know, I got this big thing. Prayer said, bring prayer back to school. Prayer never left school. Because see, prayer is in the individual.
Right.
You can pray at any time. The Bible says you don't need to be loud in your prayers. I don't need anyone to tell me when to pray. I just need to pray. I can pray in silence. I can pray when I walk in the school building. I can pray as I go down the hall. I can pray until I leave there. See, that's a problem, I think, with society, is that we want to be told what to do.
Right.
But Abraham wasn't told what to do. Abraham says, you know what? I see these three men, and you know what? I'm going to do what's righteous. I'm going to take care of them. I mean, he fed them good. I mean, he took care of them, washed their feet. I always thought about that, you know, which, you know, someone told me a long time ago, scripture, that was being very servant to someone to wash their feet, because they wore sandals, walked in the desert a lot, so their feet were always dirty.
Yep.
So for someone to wash your feet was a humbling experience. It was like, wow, they really care for me. And I think about our, in the life, here it is in this scripture, how are we like Abraham as his descendants? Can we say we're washing feet? There's nothing wrong washing the feet. I remember one time we did this when I was in Atlanta. Showed up church, remember that? The elders were all there. They had all of those things, their pants laid out. And they said, one by one, come up. We're going to wash y'all feet today. I thought that was good. I was like, whoa, this is, you know, different, but it was unique. It was showing how they cared about us as men. It was a men's night function. And we basically, they washed our feet. They wanted to practice the same things like Abraham did. You know, Jesus got his feet washed, I remember. The same thing. And what it tells me in this first part is that, how did he know that these men were so great? What about them? Was it their walk? Was it the way they looked from a distance? Was it because Abraham, because of his righteousness and his spirit of loving God, he could see angels because he was right with God?
Right.
So sometimes when you don't be right with God, you can't see the glory of God. You can't see the promises of God, the glory that he gives us, because we're too busy in those 16 hours I talked about, focusing on the wrong thing.
Right.
See, our focus should always be about God and what God is going to do. For, you know, I don't want to say do for us, but what God can do in us to make us better people. We can look at Abraham, and you know, and that's the other part of this, though, but what amazes me too, Abraham can see this. But Sarah kind of what? Last.
Yep.
I mean, I'm like, I don't know what Abraham was probably good. You know, when he said that, he probably could have like, really? I'm just using your pun as an example. God, I'm taking care of you. We don't prepare all this food. You over here laughing. Really? You know what this is? This is God here in the flesh. And you laughing. And he's going, am I not the man? And even he kind of said it, I didn't.
Right.
Say, wait a minute now. I'm the Lord. Can I not perform this task?
Right.
I created everything already. What little? This is little. The Sarah over here grinning like a chess cat. Well, she was kind of old. Don't get wrong. She probably going to woo. But then she turned around and did what?
Nah, she
lied.
I mean, I'm kind of like, okay, this starts off now really good. We eating a feast. We've got everything prepared. We washed some feet. We've taken care of these three men, these three angels. And now we're starting to go downhill.
Yeah.
We got laughter going all over here, disrespect. Come on now, this is the Lord. If he say he can do it, he can do it.
Amen.
And let's have some faith here.
Yep.
That showed me a little bit of Sarah's lack of faith in God Almighty.
Come on.
Do we get that way somehow?
Come on.
When we get a little in our position, like, well, you know, I'm getting a little older, or you know what, my body ain't where it used to. We lack the faith of saying, we know God, you can't heal me. God, you can't give me what I need. do we lose faith just like Sarah did, and we're back laughing like, you know? It's kind of like last week with the message, kind of touched me a little bit. He said something. He said he was praying a lot for God to save his mother. But then eventually said, God, you're going to do what you want to do anyway.
Yep.
I don't care. Do we get to that kind of faith where we say that too in life? Or, you know what, God, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. Why am I praying for you?
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's not the heart to have. That's the wrong heart to have. And he explained that too.
Yep.
You know, he had to realize that. And I had, the reason why it hit me is because y'all know my situation. I didn't say the same thing. And actually, him and I had a long talk afterwards. And he was like, I say, where you were then, I sometimes are at that place now. And many times. It's just being open. Sometimes it can be a daily struggle. Sometimes I don't worry about it. But there are moments when I ask the questions of why. But I know with God, there's no reason to ask the question why. God is the creator. He takes care of everything. Everything is in place because God needed to be in place. It's not for me to decide that choice. But I still wrestle with it every now and then because I miss my daughter so much.
Come on, bro.
But God don't make mistakes. God didn't make no mistakes here. I'm going to give you a son because I said so.
Amen.
And because also, again, I read on down into the chapter, the son will do some things that need to be done. Because God's got a plan.
Right.
God's always got a plan for us.
Amen.
But going back to Sarah, I was wondering, I was thinking that he may rebuke Sarah, but he didn't. And they didn't either. They just said, yes, you did. They told him, they called her out, but they moved on.
Yeah.
And I think with Sarah, though, it may have changed something in her.
Come on. Yep.
Maybe by the fact that of God's grace to say, you know what? Yeah, I heard you laugh, and you lied to me, so on and so on, but you know what? I'm still going to give you that son.
Wow.
Because that was my promise.
Amen.
So sometimes, you know, we make mistakes, guys. We're not perfect.
Right.
Sarah wasn't perfect. Sarah was, you know. But guess what? God still gave her what he said. He do the same for us. When we fall, get up.
Come on.
Don't stay down.
Amen.
You know, God has enough grace to bring us back to where we need to be.
Right.
I think sometimes we beat ourselves up too much. We think we're not worthy. Yes, you are. I remember one time a brother preached, he says, when did you wake up one morning and feel that you weren't worthy to be God's children and to be basically taken care of by God? When did you wake up and decide to see it? Because it ain't in the scriptures. God says, I love you. Always. Even though you fall short of the glory, he still loves you. There's a little story about a barbershop guy didn't believe in God.
Mm.
He's, you know, internet men know about barbershops. Y'all know how barbershops are.
Yep.
And he go there shaking the head. He in a barbershop. I've already figured out, I've coached the Falcons to a championship. Because, you know, I'm smarter than the coach.
Yeah.
I figured out all the world politics. I already know what to fix the world with. You know, I fixed everything in there. We go in there, we start talking about it. Well, you know, everybody there is an expert in everything.
Yep.
Everybody. All the men in there, you come in, you know, and you go, geez, well, I just got a lecture on all this. But here's a barber decided that he didn't believe in God. He's going to talk about that in the barber shop. So the man's in the chair getting his hair cut. And he's there, he said, it's interesting. He didn't want to get into that. He knew where that was going to go. So he just finished getting his hair cut. And he's getting ready to walk out the door. And he looks back at the man and says, so the man says that, well, go back a little further. He says, the reason why I don't believe in God is because why would God let people be poor? Why would God let people be hungry and in the streets and all these different things? Why would God not take care? If there was really a God, he would take care of all that and everyone would be taken care of. There wouldn't be no hunger. There wouldn't be no, you know, the different things that we don't have, you know, the evilness in the world. And there's a man's walking out, and he walks out, and there's a homeless guy sitting out there. And his hair's all tangled and everything, and he's a haircut. He looked back at the barber, he says, this man right here, look at him. You're a barber, you say you cut hair. That's what you do. Why this man hair ain't cut? He said, well, that's because he didn't come in to get it cut. He said, really? But you're a barber. That's what you do. You cut hair. He said, yeah. He said, well, the reason why Jesus and God doesn't do it, because guess what? People don't come in. Mm-hmm. He's waiting. So you wait to cut his hair. If you come in, you'll cut it, right? But if you come to God, he'll take care of you too.
Yep.
Amen.
So God is real. He's just waiting on you to make the first step.
Come yep.
on. Just like he was looking at that guy. So he said, wait, they say, when he walk in, I cut his hair. So God ain't gonna chase you down. He said, hey, you know, hey, you come to me and I'll take care of you.
Amen.
He says in scripture. Come on. I'll take care Amen. Of you. What's going on? You know, that's the way we kind of have to look at it. Here it is. He brought these men and he said, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you my best. I mean, he didn't go out and just kill anything. He killed the best. And he cooked up. I mean, I'm sure they had bread to travel with, whatever. He was taken care of. We got to be like that with people, y'all. We got to be that. We got to be the ones who stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. We have got to be when, you know, someone comes into your home or someone, you got to treat them like they're the best thing to ever walk. You know, wife, you're the best visitor I ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know what, before you, my house would be. Mm-hmm. But we got to love people enough, like Abraham did and Sarah did, to take care of. But we're going to go on to the second part. Remember, I told you there's two parts of this. Mm-hmm. Abraham pleads for Sodom. Now, that was, this part here was pretty good here, you know. Abraham gets a little bold here in this part. Mm-hmm. Let's go right up here. It says, we're going to start in verse 16.
Come on.
When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just.
Yep.
So that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins are so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Then the men turned away and went toward Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Forbid it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Forbid it from you, will not judge all of the earth to do right? The Lord said, if you find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Now this is where Abraham started getting a little more bolder. He's like, shoot, I can get 50. Maybe I can get a little, no. Come down a little bit more, he said. He said, then Abraham spoke up again. Now I have been so bold to speak to you, Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes. What if the number of the righteous is 5, less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? I will find 45 there, he said, and I will not destroy the city. Once again, he spoke to him. What if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of the 40, I will not do it again. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak again. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if you find 30. Abraham said, now, that I've been so bold to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may Lord, do not get angry with me, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. So here it is, Abraham is going saying, hey, Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody knows the story, right? It's off the chain. You read on in the chapter, you'll find out when the men get there, the other men wanted to do some crazy things. So.
Yeah.
But that just shows you how wicked they were. Remember, God doesn't like sin. But it's amazing to me that God says, I'm going to have to go down here and check this out. Because, it's like he got a message or something. God probably knew already what was going on, but he made it sound like, I've heard some things going on down in Sodom.
Yep.
So I'm going to go check it out. And when I get there, if things ain't the way they're supposed to be, I'm going to have to destroy this place. But here it is, Abraham was bold enough to speak to God and to ask God for forgiveness for the righteous in the city.
Mm-hmm.
He had gotten enough confidence, I guess, over that meal. He must have had a good conversation. I'm comfortable with you. Not alone, I'm going to first start off with so many, but I'm going to break it all the way down and keep asking you. Remember I told you earlier? We fall short sometimes. We don't. Guess what? You can keep asking. God don't. Look, we're like children. They keep what? They keep coming at you, don't they? We're God's children. So, you know what he said? Whatever you want to find in the city, I'll take care of it for you. Mm-hmm. But he was thinking of it. But it made me feel, as I read this, is their relationship was close, like friends. Not like the fatherly figure, but the friend. Like, you know, I can come to you, God, and be bold enough to ask you to take care of some things for me. Do you feel bold enough to ask God to take care of some things for you?
Come on.
Well, if you don't, why not?
Amen.
Uh-huh. You don't feel righteous enough? Then get righteous. If you don't feel holy enough, get holy. If you don't feel that you're in your scriptures enough to be close to God, your prayer life ain't right, get right. Mm-hmm. Get your prayer life right. Get yourself right. Put yourself in a position so you can be Abraham.
Come on.
You can be bold. Right. You can ask for these things. God wants to give us so much. But we ask for so little and think, you know what? But, you know, ask for the big things. If you want it, if you truly believe, you should have it. Now, understand this, God will give you what you need, mm-hmm. not necessarily what you want.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, that's two different things there. Sometimes what we want is, God says, well, if I get this to you, that's going to mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? I'm trying to save you from yourself. Mm-hmm. I always go back to the lottery, yo. You know, $250 million would do me quite well. Well, I'm sure I'd be very generous. I mean, I just have a generous heart. I just know I do. I mean, God probably saying, you know what? If I give you $250 million, you're going to get stupid. right out stupid. So I mean, anyway, I'm going to keep you where you are. I'm going to let you stay here. You keep asking, though. Don't stop asking. But you know what? Maybe you ain't there yet. Maybe I hadn't. Got closer. Maybe when I get about 85, he'll say, oh, here it is. Abraham, take it. You know, got 5 years of work before you get done. You know? But again, you know, all jokes aside, it's, I think so many times, though, we don't approach the throne of God like Abraham.
Right.
Amen.
And I think that's because we are too busy judging ourselves, thinking we're unrighteous. We're not good enough.
Amen.
We're good enough, God. God didn't put you here. He didn't put you here so that you fail. That's not his plan. He want to see you prosperous. He prospered Abraham and all his descendants. If you read on, you'll talk about all the land and cattle and all the things they had. God knows our hearts. He knows who we are and what we deserve, what we should be. But I think sometimes we put too much on our own selves. You know, it goes on, you know, when he got to the point of, you know, and this is in the later chapter, I don't want to get too far in there, because I think someone else is supposed to be reading on in the next one, but, you know, he comes to a point where God, one thing he does not like, and that is the sin. That's the part we got to take out of our life.
Right.
You want to get rid of something, focus on the sin. That's the part that we all have to work on. And we all know our own sins, you know. I always like that little, you know, remember one time, I think it was a little movie thing you did about the lady has a bag of her sins, and she gives them, and he said, you know, give them to me. God said, give them to me. She brings them out, she gives them to him. She got one left in the bag. She goes, well, I'm going to keep this one because, you know, I think I can handle this one. You can have the rest of it. I said, no. I'll take it all on. Give it to me. Confess it. Give it to me. I'll take it. She goes, oh, no, not this one. This is mine. Mm. We're sometimes like that. We all
yep.
are. We got that one, that pet, the one that we focus on. Instead of saying, God, take them all. Mm. I don't need them. They ain't doing me no good. Same way in life, we have to be able to come to God with boldness. Because God, I can't handle it. Take it, please. Whatever I got to do. Put some people in my life. Help me. Because I can't help myself.
Right.
Ask for it. It's there. There are people that love you enough to help you. This ain't a, understand this. Being a Christian is not a battle for an individual. You're going to need some help.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, Satan is using them. Mm-hmm. He's got plenty of people working. Yeah. Got plenty of things working.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to need some help sometime. We all do. There's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with it. It's okay. It shows the vulnerability of yourself. It shows your real weaknesses. It actually lets yourself be open to be helped. Mm-hmm. See, Solomon, when you look at it, Solomon is in a situation where the city is just out of control. And God says, you know, when it comes to that sin, you know, I gotta eradicate that so I can get to the good stuff. Because guess what? You have to take care of that so good things can be going on. People always ask this little thing about it. It says, with the destruction of Sodom, what did he prove? Well, here it is to us. He proved that he has a distaste for sin to the utmost, to the point where if you don't change your life, sin will lead you to do what?
Yeah.
Destruction.
Yep.
It says in the scriptures, mm-hmm. it will lead you to destruction.
Amen.
Talks about it in the Old Testament, talks about it in the New Testament. So I look at this and I think about these two parts. I you know, again, the three visitors and Abraham's plea for Solomon. I asked this, you know, and that's actually ready to close out. It says, you know, it puts some questions to mind. Being, you know, be close enough to God to be, not less considered a parent, but a friend too. Someone you can go to, pray with, talk about. Great, you know, because he can do great things.
Yep.
He can heal with people where doctors can't. He can bring you out of the muck where, you know, I always go back to the situation of a brother, Gerald. He is an elder in the church in Atlanta. And I remember on Saturday mornings, all the men used to get up and go pray on Saturday morning. You know, all the men, we go to a park and pray.
Amen.
We about 30, 40 of us out there.
Come on.
I mean, wintertime, no matter, we'd all get up and we'd meet there on Saturday morning.
Come on.
Amen.
Well, this morning, there was a guy out there who was on crack, just laying in the park, hanging out. You know, of course, to be who we are. You know, we're going to go up and say, hey, you know, introduce ourselves and everything. And start talking to him. And talking to him, and, you know, he come back out, he was out there again, and he said, you know what? Let us help you. So we got him up, got him into a program with single brothers and moved him to the house and everything, and his story. And here it is now. He's married. Been married now, what?
Wow.
About 18 years.
Come on.
Wow.
He is an elder in the church.
Wow.
Wow.
And when you hear Gerald speak, phenomenal speaker. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but he was in the muck.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sitting in a bar. Mm-hmm. But it took people like us as Christians to do what? Mm-hmm. Be with God. Be Abraham. Be bold.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this, that whoever you see, don't look at that's the sin that you see in front of them. It's not the individual.
Amen.
It's not the individual. Amen. It's just Satan has just worked on them a little bit too much.
Amen.
Oh yeah, Gerald is from people.
Oh wow.
What?
Is he?
Yes. Oh yeah. Wow.
He stayed at the house a couple times. His wife came to town. He let him stay at the house. But Gerald is from people. Wow. Never knew that until after, you know, never knew. But, you know, that kind of story shows me that, think about this story, it's the boldness of people. We got to be bold. God said, I can give the son to Sarah. He can change the lives of anyone, and anyone in here, or anyone mm-hmm. that's listening, or anyone that you know that you think you can't save. Mm-hmm.
You may not do the, per se, saving, but you can reach out. You can talk about God. You can introduce them. You know, my question, are you a true friend of God? So when he speaks, you can speak up for the unrighteous and for others. Do you feel the boldness? Do you feel the power to be the one that says, you know what? God, don't destroy the whole city. There's some righteous people there. Love people enough where you can see past their sin. Say, you know what? No. I know it's bad, but there's got to be some good in there. You got to see it. You got to know it. So when you see an unrighteous, there's some good in them. You just got to figure out how to get it out. How can God work you through it? He can get through all of it. When God sends angels your way, will you be like Sarah and Abraham? Will you work right in them? Will you open up your home and your life to people that you sometimes you wouldn't do? They're strangers. But God says, you know, he didn't look at anything about these people. See, you know, Abraham just says, you know what, there's the three, and he see the glory in them. He said, hey, let's fix the best one. We do that for people, and we can go a long way in basically continuing to grow God's kingdom. You ain't got to be the best at everything. You don't. There's something, be good at what you can. Have an open heart and understand that, you know, as Sarah being promised a child by God, God has promises for you too. He's going to walk with you, talk with you. Be a friend. You know, I like that old song. He calls me friend. I can't sing, so y'all know the song, right? Y'all
heard
it? Yeah. He calls me friend. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. He calls me friend. I hope that and pray that God can call me a friend. I hope I'm doing the things he asked me to do. If I'm not, then I pray that we have brothers and sisters can tell me, put me on the place.
Amen.
Amen.
Got to love me enough to tell me the bad things, not always the good things.
That's right.
So we got to be people of Christian life that say, hey, you know what? I'm going to call out the unrighteous because I want to make sure you get right.
Come on.
And I don't want to see you fail. I want to see you succeed.
Come on.
In order to do that, I got to love you enough and care enough for you when I see the sin to address it. And say, you know. I mean, one time I used to have some brothers in eBay with one of them. And so I said, he said, bro, eBay's from Nigeria. Big bro. We were just, you know, just men talking, you know, around. Yeah, hey, man, what, you saw me out with another woman. He said, first, I'm going to come up, I'm going to tell you about yourself, and I'm going to put you straight. Then I'm going to kick your butt. Get you back home. But I'm going to put you on the righteous path. He said, because I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. And I said, what about over here? He said, ain't what you want to hear. It is my responsibility as a Christian and as a brother of Christ to tell my brother he is wrong.
Amen.
Now what you do with it is yours. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. That's love.
Yep.
He said, I don't care if you'll never speak to me again. Amen. But I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. God be the glory. Thank you guys so much.
Amen. 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 Thank you.